We got a very special episode for you today. We are going to be talking about love. We're going to be talking about relationships. I am here with my wife, Melissa. We're going to be discussing her favorite movie, even. We'll tell you what that is here in a minute. I am Bill Sang, and this is the Bill Sang Podcast. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. Black Swan Blues, take me home. Our main objective in this podcast, of course, as you know, is to help you to have a biblical worldview and understand the world through that lens. And so we're going to be getting right into our topic here today, which is the topic of love, which is the topic of relationships. And Melissa, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Good, good. Now, Melissa, we want to talk about your favorite movie today. So what is the name of that movie?
The name is A Country Wedding. It's a Hallmark favorite from 2015 with Autumn Reeser and Jesse Metcalf. And so it's quite an enjoyable one.
Okay. Yeah, and I know that we've been talking about this movie for quite some time now, and you, I remember we were driving on a trip to visit your mother, and I remember I surprised you by saying that you sold me on this movie, that even though it's a Hallmark movie, even though it might be more of a chick flick per se, that ultimately I ended up liking this movie quite a bit myself, as it has a lot of elements of worldview inside of it that I thought very much resonated with the biblical worldview. What are the reasons why you, and just going into just, you know, surface level here, what do you like so much about this movie?
To me, it stands out because a lot of movies I've seen about relationships, most of what they teach is ungodly relationships, even if we don't believe maybe they're being promoted in the movies that we watch. That's what comes across. And so when I saw this movie, I thought, oh my gosh, this is like a breath of fresh air. You know, they're promoting what's good and wholesome. And I just think it's such a good example for all of us.
Yeah, it's a remarkable story as it progresses through. And what I really like about it is how love is portrayed inside of the movie, the worldview that it is getting across through that. And I don't want to give you the impression that it's about the Bible or that it's about worldview, but it really does help you to see the world that they live in through the worldview that they live in. And I find that very fascinating. The Bible, you know, of course, has a lot to say about love. You can immediately think about 1 Corinthians 13, which is known as the love chapter of the Bible. I can think of John 3:16. There are all sorts of 1 John 3:16 even that talks about the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. So love is a big deal as it relates to the Bible. In fact, C.S. Lewis, back when he was alive, wrote a book called The Four Loves to talk about the four loves that are talked about inside of the Bible. And actually, this movie reminded me of that book, and so I had to dig that out and look at what the four loves were again. But and of course, they were exactly as I felt like the movie kind of portrayed the stages of love that this couple went through. So having given a little bit of background there, Melissa, let's go ahead and dive right into it. So we're starting off with the biblical world. How do you say that a Hallmark movie promotes a biblical worldview?
Well, for one, you will be able to see in the movie that the couple goes to church together, and they're actually friends with the pastor. So they don't, you know, make him out to be some weird, you know, guy. And
Let me pause you there. So why is that so? Why do you say that that is indicative of a biblical worldview in a movie?
Well, a lot of times people think, you know, pastors are just over the top. You know, you don't really need to live out what the Bible says. That's just, you know, that's just kind of fairy tale. You don't do that. But they show in the movie that, you know, what the pastor teaches is very real. It's very, you can really apply it to your life. And it makes perfect sense, you know, to live as the Bible teaches. So I think that was pretty neat that they went to church.
Something fascinating I find too inside of the movie is they value relationships, and it's so clear as you see all the different people interact with Bradley, who's this big country music star who broke out of this small town in Texas, and you see him interact with different people as he goes back to his hometown, and they all still value him. They're trying to remind him of who they are, and he remembers some of them he doesn't. But what I find very fascinating is that at the beginning of the film, they are announcing that he is engaged to an actress that he met when he became famous, that actually helped him become famous. And I know this is somewhat of a spoiler, of course, but we're not worried about it. This movie's been out since 2015. We still recommend you see it, even though I'm going to ruin the ending right now, sort of. Is that ultimately, even with this woman who's engaged with at the beginning of the movie, he falls in love with this other person, that even as the movie unfolds, it's not like he doesn't care about her anymore, the relationship they have, that they have had in the past, but rather that he sees that it is not that she is not exactly the person that he wants to marry, even though he cares about her. And I think that even from the philosophical perspective of the four loves, as C.S. Lewis presents it, you see an awful lot of that in there. And actually, I think that that's why he ends up breaking, not that he read The Four Loves by C.S. Lewis, but I think that ultimately the reason why he breaks it off with his initial engagement is because he recognized the difference in the love that he had for this actress and the love that he had for Sarah, which I found it fascinating that throughout the movie, their relationship transforms. At the beginning, it's sort of just a casual affection that they have for one another, which is the first type of love that C.S. Lewis talks about. That's very much about kinship, very much about familiarity. But then it transforms into a very solid friendship, which is something that's more special than affection in terms of that it's a very intentional type of love that you engage with. That it's with somebody that you have to somewhat go out of your way for in order to have a relationship with them and in order to share with them. In fact, C.S. Lewis values friendship so much that he quoted somebody that said that few value it because few experience it. Melissa, do you have anything to add to that thought right there of the transformation of their relationship from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie?
Well, the movie shows they really enjoy each other. So the person that he was originally engaged to, he didn't even really enjoy, or he didn't even know, you know, what kind of cake.
Yeah, talk about this a little bit. What was it that kind of got exposed? So I remember there was a scene where Sarah asked him a question. What was it? I think it was, what is, because she was trying to help him to plan his wedding with this actress. And he asked her, she asked him rather, what is her favorite flower? What was his response?
He didn't know, you know, and then she asked, you know, what is her favorite cake? And he thought, well, maybe coconut. And then apparently she was allergic to coconut. So, but for the girl that Sarah, who was a friend to Bradley, they rode horses together and went fishing and, you know, they just joked around and got ice cream. And so it's such a good picture of what it looks like to date and to enjoy somebody. And I think our culture needs these examples. You know, even if it's not real, it still shows, it's just a great story to show what a good relationship looks like.
Well, and I think that's one of the fascinating things in this movie is it's part of the worldview that it is trying to convey, that it's trying to impart to its viewer, is that there's a moment where Bradley and Sarah are talking, and it's somewhat just of a casual conversation, but I can't remember if he asks her or what, but they start talking about what love is. And when she responds about that love is between two people, it's a once in a life, true love is a once in a lifetime thing, and she goes on the details of all the things, and then he says, well, that sounds like a fairy tale, and then he said that you know, it sounds romantic, but it doesn't sound realistic. And I think that what the movie's trying to do there is to try to say to people who are watching it, don't sell yourself short. And I think that's actually what she says to him, don't sell yourself short. Black swan, blue. Inside the four loves, I already mentioned the first two, affection and friendship, but there's more types of love. Two other types of love in this book. It's called The Four Loves, so I guess it makes sense that there's four loves. And the last two that C.S. Lewis mentions are Eros and Charity. And Eros is the romantic type of love. Now, when I recalled the book, I thought of it more in terms of a strict romance. But as I refreshed myself on it, C.S. Lewis quoted a guy named Charles Williams. By the way, I don't know who Charles Williams is. The Four Loves was written a long time ago. C.S. Lewis was alive quite a while ago now. But he had this quote to explain this romantic love. And this is the quote. It says, "Love you, I am you." That's a very fascinating way to put romantic love. Now, do you see that at all inside of the relationship between Bradley and Sarah inside of this movie? And if so, what are your thoughts on that?
And there was a quote I really like that kind of goes along with that, that Sarah in the movie says. She says, "You don't get married because you like the same things and because you have similar lifestyles. You get married because you can't stand the thought of not being together. You get married because you love the other person with your whole heart." So, yeah, I think that goes along with kind of being together on that. And I think a lot of times what women are taught for some reason in our culture is it's the most important thing, you know, for them to feel empowered. And so they think, you know, let's just take charge of everything. You know, let's take charge, you know, every place we possibly can. And that is definitely empowering, but it's not fulfilling even for a woman. And so it's really neat because in the movie, it shows how Sarah is empowered because she helps to bring out the best in this guy that, you know, they're eventually going to be together. And she's fulfilled because, you know, she is being nurturing in the relationship and caring and kind of fulfilling God's design for women. And that doesn't mean, you know, she still works. It shows, like, she doesn't have to, like, push herself around, you know, push everyone else around. But she's so empowered just being herself and being able to enjoy the person and the people in her life.
And that reminds me very much of C.S. Lewis's fourth love, which is not, it's not C.S. Lewis's, but you know what I'm saying. This is the fourth type of love that's mentioned in the Bible and that he's mentioning in his book, The Four Loves, and that is charity. Now, that might sound like a weird word to us. We think of like the Salvation Army or the Red Cross or something like that when we think of charity. But when we think of the word charity, think more along the lines of the word cherish. And that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about this word charity is the fourth love. And in the Greek, it's the word agape. Some of our listeners might be familiar with the word agape, and it's a godly sort of love. And it's very much expressed in 1 John 3:16, where it talks about the example of love that God has given us is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that's giving. And I think that you see a lot of that inside of this movie. But you see, again, what I love about it is the transformation of their love from being just childhood friends all the way up to where they meet again. They're reacquainted. Their relationship becomes more meaningful. They see needs in each other's lives that they're willing to help out with. And what I like about in The Four Loves is C.S. Lewis says that about how a garden needs weeding and pruning, but that doesn't take away from the garden. That actually enhances it, makes it better to be able to do those sorts of things, makes it more meaningful. So when I think of this fourth love in relation to this movie, I think there's all sorts of examples where he had all this status, all this fame, all this money that he was going to make from marrying this actress, but instead he mentions even to the actress before they broke off the engagement about what his plans were, and they are actually a very downsized version of what they were with her in his life. And so as he was giving up some things to go and pursue Sarah instead. And so I see a lot of the charitable aspect of love, this godly love in him as he pursued that.
Yeah, and something I wanted to add is, it might sound crazy, you know, that we're picking apart this movie that's not even real, you know, not even based on a real story. But what I see is when people watch these movies, this is what people accept to be the way that's acceptable to live. And I see this as so different from the movies that are, most of the movies that are seen, you know, in the regular TV shows that people view weekly. And so what's opposite of that is just everything ungodly, you know, everything, you know, where you can't trust anybody, and where, you know, every relationship is, you know, not supposed to be. You have a whole bunch of relationships all at once, and it's just this whole big, you know, scandal or whatever. And so, yeah, I think what's important to realize is that, you know, whatever you're watching, pick it apart, you know, say, what is this teaching me? What is this making me to accept, you know, that's okay and what's good and right? Because a lot of what our culture is accepting is only because of the movies. Yes. Because the movies are portraying these characters that are doing ungodly things as, you know, either victims, or portraying them as good when they're not living good lifestyles. So, yeah, like I encourage you all to, whatever you're watching, pick it apart and say, is this good? Is this honoring to God? Because, if not, we shouldn't accept it. And so, that's why, yeah, I think you should check out this movie and, ones like it. And you could realize, you could see that it's going to make a positive impact on you.
I think that's a very excellent point there, Melissa. I think back to early on in our relationship when we got married and we tried to find movies, good godly movies, you know, just movies, romantic movies. We'd go to the Red Box, we'd go to Netflix, whatever it is that we had available to us, we'd
for
go
my
to
sake,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, for Melissa's sake, I can get along with action movies and guy movies just fine. But for, you know, for the sake of Melissa and our relationship, we would look around for romantic movies and we'd turn it on. It would just be smut. It would just be ungodliness. It would just be immorality. And I know that Hallmark has this reputation that the guy and the girl always end up falling in love and getting married at the end of the movie. And you know what? Maybe that's true. But maybe we need some of that. Maybe we need to be reinforced in our minds that it is good to have a storybook ending. In fact, I think of lots of the children's cartoons even these days that used to be, you could at least turn to those for reassurance that you can have entertainment with good values inside of them. But so many of them now, the way they end is very ambiguous lots of times, with the man and the woman not getting married, where they, you might speculate on this whether they're going to or not, or maybe it's just made clear, we're not getting married because we don't need each other in order to exist. Well, think about that in relation to a country wedding and the quote that Melissa shared, that a life without love is just half a life. And I also, I don't know if she shared that or not, but it's one of the quotes in the movie, a life without love, that's just half a life. And to make this statement that we don't need love, and you know, I'm not even saying romantic love, that you don't need love in order to live a complete life, that's nonsense. From a Christian perspective, that is absolute nonsense. As we know, we are called to be people of love. We're called to abide in God's love. And so I think that having movies where, you know, I don't care how many of them there are, where they have a happy ending, they get married, and there's only good in their futures, I think that we need an awful lot more of that reinforced in our culture without the immorality from the beginning to the end of the movie. And I'm very refreshed to say that this is one of my more favorite movies. I'm not going to say favorite movies because my top 10, it's Godzilla King of the Monsters, by the way. But it was Batman, The Dark Knight, actually, for a while. So like I said, my top 10, it's well populated right now. But I can give it an honorable mention for A Country Wedding. It's an excellent movie. It's got good values. I enjoy watching it with my wife. I encourage you guys, if you're looking for a good date night movie, check out A Country Wedding. And even, you know what, do that afterwards, what Melissa and I are doing right now. Talk about what you liked about it. Talk about what was being portrayed in it. Talk about how it could influence your relationship with one another even. That's pretty much all I got for right now. Melissa, do you have anything to add before we close things out?
No, thanks for listening, and we enjoyed it.
All right. Again, my name is Bill Tseng. I'm with my wife, Melissa Tseng, here right now, and this is the Bill Tseng Podcast. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe. Black Swan.